Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Way Up North podcast is supported by Wooden Banana. Wooden Banana has delivered personalized wooden packaging for photographers since 2014 and has since connected with thousands of photographers from around the world. Their handmade wooden products range from CD and print boxes through to custom USBs, all individually engraved with your branding, giving your client delivery the love it deserves no matter where you are in the world. Wooden Banana has partnered with Way Up North for 3 events in a row and is offering a 10% discount on all their products using the purchasing code 110. So give them a look at woodenbanana.com or follow their store and Instagram via the hashtag woodenbanana. My name is Cole Roberts, and alongside my business partner, Jakob Granqvist, and the co-founder of Way Up North. Way Up North is a wedding photography conference based in Europe, with the third edition happening this October in Stockholm, Sweden. The podcast you're about to listen to is a conversation series hosted by Swedish wedding photographer Jenny Hamar. The discussions in this set of the podcast are with the presenters who will be coming to Stockholm this fall. The first of 10 conversations is with the German-based husband and wife team Carmen and Ingo. In this hour-long conversation, you'll hear their story, which revolves heavily around business savviness with a service-first attitude, all encompassed by their family-first approach. So settle in, and here's Jenny's conversation with Carmen and Ingo, recorded in June 2016.
So I'm actually based in Vaxholm. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
Is that Sweden?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It's in Sweden.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you don't have any Swedish accent, so.
Well, I actually grew up in the States.
Okay.
Ah, that's
cool. I can hear
and so
that.
I have, like, once I turn my, like, English brain on, yeah, my English gets better. But so
okay.
I'm in Vaxholm, which is, like, 30 minutes north of Stockholm.
Okay.
And where are you guys right now?
Near Munich.
Okay.
But yeah. Actually, we are Austrians, but live in Munich since I lived here
long time,
since 99, and Ingo came 2004.
Okay.
So yeah. A long time.
But are you from the same part of Austria?
No, not really.
No, but not far away. It's like 1.5 hour by car.
Yeah, but we met in Italy, so it was accidentally, and then, yeah. And so we ended up here in Munich together.
Oh, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
How do you meet accidentally?
Well, drunken at the beach.
Yes.
It was 13 more, years ago.
13 years ago. It was more like a spring break party. And so we met there and yeah. And then it got actually serious. And
yeah, right at the beginning.
Yeah. And that's pretty funny because everybody was like, yeah, you met there. Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a total like fling.
Yeah.
Normally it's like you met there and you
never see each other again.
Yeah, so that's normal. Yeah, so but we met there and we saw each other again, and so it started. Started out in Italy, and then Ingo came from. I am already in Munich, and Ingo came
a year later when my studies was finished, and I moved to Munich.
2004.
2004.
Okay.
And now we are married. Have a little 20-month-old daughter. Traveling Europe for weddings.
Okay. Well, I have like a million questions, and I want to hear a ton about your daughter because I do love kids. But how drunk were you when you met on the beach?
Oh, actually, very drunk.
Is that ending up in the podcast?
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do.
It was a yes ago, and we were very drunk. I think.
Well,
yeah.
How drunk you are when you go in for spring break as a 23-year-old, yeah. You know, guy and girl. So yes.
Like the whole weekend, very drunk.
Yeah, it was already the second day at the weekend. Yeah.
I can't remember.
Okay, and who was Carmen, drunkest?
Carmen Mick, sorry.
Who was drunkest between the two of you?
Cameron. She even blamed another guy next day at the beach that he's not even looking at her and look at this arrogant guy and he didn't even say hello, but actually it wasn't me, it was someone else.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah, and then I showed up and they, oh no, that's him.
And he said hello. I was like, oh, thank you. Hi.
So that's kind of drunk.
Yeah. She's like, oh, never mind, that's the guy. Yeah. And which is kind of funny because, I mean, looking at you, you guys are like super gorgeous couple. So I'm just like imagining.
Thank
but
you,
I mean, we've all been there. Like,
yeah,
you know.
We don't drink anymore.
No. Ha-ha.
No.
Actually, we live in Munich. We have to.
You have to drink.
Yeah.
At
least in September when Oktoberfest is. So, okay, Oktoberfest, you know Oktoberfest?
Yeah, well, I thought Oktoberfest was in October.
Well, actually, that's a lot of people think that, but it's in September. I mean, it goes into like 3 days in October or something, but it's in September.
It's a September
Yeah.
Fest.
Yes. That's actually really
pretty. Yeah. And the whole world is copying it, but it do it in October.
Which is all wrong. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's not original, so yeah.
But actually, in Sweden, they drink a lot too, right?
Yeah, they do. They're specialized in like where you like don't drink, save it all up, drink everything on weekends or special holidays until you just actually don't even remember anything and then have a massive hangover and then kind of, you know, repeat. So yeah, I don't recommend that style, but yeah, that's kind of how the Swedes do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that romantic start.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was. It was romantic, though.
No, it was really romantic.
Yeah, it was good.
That's true.
Was there any, like, sex on the beach involved?
No. No, and I think that's the reason why we're still together.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been like sex on the beach and then don't see each other again.
No, but it was really romantic.
So it was
really
all planned
like...
by me, so I figured out how it's going to be then.
No, yeah. But no. No, it was very...
Yeah, it was great.
We talked a lot, like until 7 or 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so we had a really nice start, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so nice. Like when you're young, you stay up all night, you have like a million questions about each other. And
that's true. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice. So then the next day, Ingo, you were like, okay, I need to find this girl. She's not going to recognize me, so I need to find. Or what was your plan?
No, actually, back then I was running every day, like almost 2 hours and something. And I went with my hangover. I went running at the beach for 2 hours
without
something to drink. I remember that I was always dying at the beach. And then, well, we said we were meeting again at the bar, but just later that day. And she was there already at 12 or something. And I came there at like 3, 4, 5 something. And then she like, oh no, this is him. And then we just sat next to each other. Yeah. And
we had like talking again.
Yeah, it was just like a revival of the day before.
And actually, we thought that we split up and we don't see us again. And I went with my friend. We went actually, we were on the way back home. And after half an hour or an hour driving, I was like, no, I can't go. I have to go back. I have to see him again. And my friend was like, no, come on, we don't do that now. And really we started like talking about that. And then we made a
U-turn.
Yeah. And then I called him in the Telefonzelle.
Yeah, phone station, whatever.
Fixed phone station.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I called him and his mobile phone was off. So I talked to his mobile, his
voice mail.
And then I said like, hey, if you want to see me again, I wait in this and this bar at 11 o'clock in the evening. If you come, okay. If not, I know that we don't see us again. So I was waiting there at 11 and I was waiting there like, I don't know if he's come or not. Yeah. And then he was like really running behind.
No, I wasn't running. I was walking very cool, laid back and like... But so, I was like sprinting just like as fast as I could just to the corner. And then I was like,
Oh, and then you were like sweat rolling, but still looking cool. Exactly. Like,
yeah, so it was fun. Yeah.
And then it was like cool.
Yeah, oh. And then there's this history. Yeah.
Well, that's like, it sounds like a fairy tale. I mean, like a movie of turn the car around, I gotta go back, and then
pretty funny actually.
And then, of course, no cell phones were, like, on. It's not like we were connected.
Yeah, there were cell phones, but I had no, like...
I didn't even know your full name, actually.
Yeah.
Because you were not telling me your last name.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You didn't dare to.
And now I have your last name.
I give you my last name. That's good.
Like, literally.
Yeah. Are you married or you have...
I'm married and I have 3 little kids.
Oh wow!
3 is a lot.
So yeah.
So you're busy, a busy woman.
Little means.
Sorry.
Little means.
So I have a 2 6-year-olds and 1 2-year-old.
Wow.
Oh, 2 6-year-olds, so twins.
Yeah,
twins. Nice.
How cool is that?
That's great.
So which is why I'm excited to talk to you guys, because you're obviously like succeeding with, you know. I don't know how the balance is, but you're working and you have a daughter and you're making it work.
Yeah, we make it work. Yeah, it's a lot more. I mean, you know it even better with 3 children. There's a lot of organization and planning stuff involved.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound too romantic, but we were like planning when to get the baby as well. So we're like booked out for the whole season. And we were like, okay, when we start trying to get a kid, we just, you know, set a date where it's technically like after the wedding season, after our last wedding.
We said, like, let's try that. Everybody said,
you can't plan a baby.
That. And we were like, okay, let's try it because we are young. And if it doesn't work, we have another year and another year. Right. Here. So we said, like, let's try that. And it worked out pretty soon, actually. Yeah.
Actually, like, I would say... No wasted of time. And but Malia came like 4 weeks earlier, so we had to plan like backup. We didn't know that, obviously, but we planned like 4 weddings before the wedding. We planned backups, so we have like 100% people who can cover what we do, same quality or even better. And we took 3 of those jokers, actually. Yeah,
and we have our super sweet assistant sitting there, Marina, and she's now in our team since 3 years. So she started before Malia because we thought when we get a baby we need help. And that was a really good decision because she was covering a lot of things when I was nursing, stuff like that. So she was shooting, I was nursing, then we changed and she took care for Malia and I was shooting, so we were like really give it a baby.
Back and forth, 2 hours. Yeah, like 2 hour cycle of nursing and shooting in Spain.
Which is, I mean, not easy. I've been in a situation where I've had done similar things, so I know that it's also, it's not exhausting. Before you have kids, what you don't realize is that it's not just. You can't necessarily plan every feed and how long it's going to take and then that separation. And I mean, so it's a lot more complicated than just, okay, I need 10 minutes in a corner to just nurse. I mean, you have to it's different.
But the thing we've always thought, if we don't plan it, it's not going to happen. I mean, if you plan it, it can go wrong.
Yeah.
But if you don't plan, it can't go right. So, and so far, like, things we have planned worked out very well, actually. Especially, I mean, if you're like having a running in business with both of our names in there, I can just say, okay, well, Carmen Ingo is just showing up with someone else.
Right.
People book us for their wedding and not just someone else and me or someone else and Carmen.
But we were not planning every second or every minute or something like that. So we know when we are there the day and when I have to nurse, Malia, it takes how long it takes, and Marina does a really good job. Yeah. So she's doing her thing. Then we change again. So we never had really like, oh my god, I have to do that.
Right.
Nursing was then like whatever it takes, you know. But that's, we have like good. There was this. It was all well planned at this wedding in Spain, for example. And then the bride has like an hour delay. So that shook like everything and apart. They're like, and they're like, no. Okay. And they were going like off-road down there, changing, and one is coming back off-road up to the, because it was somewhere in the olive tree garden, whatever.
So we changed and, really like with off-road car ride.
That was fun.
And then we were changing baby and Malia.
Oh my God.
It's really adventurous, but actually afterwards, a nice story.
Yeah, afterwards.
But it was very exhausting. So everybody of us.
And in addition, we don't just do images, we also do like highlight video trailer. We call it Candy Fusion. And it's like just a fusion video, 5 minutes highlight trailer. And we did that at that wedding as well. So it was photo, video, and then nursing and changing. And stuff.
Yeah,
so that was a lot of pressure.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
But it turned out very well. It was a nice, beautiful wedding. And, you know, the client doesn't realize that it's a very stressy day for us.
So it sounds like you've done it, so it seems pretty seamless. I mean, the changeover to Marina.
Yeah, they didn't realize anything.
No, they
about
didn't
it.
Realize anything.
No.
I mean, typical Spaniards, right? To be like an hour late for the bride. Sorry, Spanish people, but that just doesn't strike me like it would happen in Germany. An hour.
Yeah,
they were German people. So
they were German people, yeah.
I don't know what the reason was. You were there.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I don't know. No, yeah. But it happens, yeah.
Yeah. So not at all typical then.
No,
that's not very typical actually. So that's why we didn't plan with an hour delay. So, but it worked out very well, everything.
So your daughter is going to grow up like at weddings, basically. She's going to be like a wedding planner.
Or a crasher.
Yeah.
A crasher.
No, she's with us at the wedding, actually.
She's with us in the same...
like city or
whatever. Yeah. But we are there now. Marina is doing her own weddings at the weekend because she's a very good photographer. So we have our own babysitter with us and they're doing stuff. So last weekend went to Hamburg. And Julia and Malia went to the city and doing stuff. So she's not with us at the wedding.
No.
But right, she's with us. So when we go to bed or when we come home, we have her again. So that it's not the whole weekend without her.
Right. Yeah. Mm. She's obviously not in like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we always try to spend more time in that place where we're going to shoot than just the weekend. Especially if we go like to nice places like Spain or other,
Amsterdam,
you know, Amsterdam or whatever. We try to spend a week there and see the city, and you know, so it's always good. Like to like last year, we had Marina with us, and she was like enjoying the time as well. I mean, she was working in Spain for her own business, then taking a little bit of babysitting, and also you know, working for us and stuff. So it's pretty like work and travel basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I'm planning all of this. Who does that? Who's the who's the organized one between you two?
Between us two?
He's always one. And the creative code.
Yeah.
Is it
Cowards, yeah.
Yeah, coward.
Wait, no, coward
well,
or
actually,
coward?
Like the whole planning and you know, thinking about a lot of things is probably me in a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, usually in a couple like that, there's the balance, the yin and yang. So
yeah, he's the organized one. Yes.
I mean, I try to spend a lot of time with Malia as well, but I'm also working a lot. And if we don't have anyone around us at the moment, Carmen is doing most of the day with Malia, and I'm like doing business stuff.
Okay.
Yes, but it's also like that a little balance. Even though I spend a lot of time with her as well, and you work sometimes. During the day when
but he's more the business guy and I'm then like I'm the creative and
she takes better images than me.
Oh. Okay, in what way? How are your images different? I mean, and before you answer that, do you just merge all of your photos and then so the client doesn't really know who took what? Obviously,
yeah.
Actually, after a couple of years or some time, we don't know it either. So we sometimes yes, but sometimes there are pictures we were like.
Well, for example, I mean, we would argue probably, but there's an image we shot in South Africa, and I couldn't say if you shot that or I shot that.
No.
And we have been if the situation is clear that we're at the spot at the same time, and it mixes over the years. If it's getting ready of the bride, we certainly know who shot it and vice versa.
Right.
But if we're both on the same spot, it's hard to tell after a couple of weeks.
So your styles have really merged.
It grew together.
So we started out like we were just a couple and we had a hobby and it was photography.
Yeah.
So we started out really as like with a point and shoot camera just for having fun. We shot a lot. So we did a lot, but always really we started together from the beginning from a scratch. And so I think we grew together and that's why we have a similar style because we like the similar stuff. Yeah. And so we have like, I would say almost the same style. Yeah. But anyway, Ingo is shooting a bit more wide angle, I would say. I'm a bit more the really close up guy, so I'm going really close. So I think that's a little bit of difference. But
yeah, everyone has it, its role in the shooting part as well. So we know, like, we don't have to talk much about what we do. This is a lot of, you know, understanding what if I see a lens on the camera and Carmen does something, I know what she probably will do or what kind of things, and we understand or we can read each other very well.
Yeah, because we started it together. That's why
it wasn't two photographers getting a couple; it was a couple getting photographers.
Okay.
Coming photographers. Yeah, we haven't had anything like to do with professional photography when we met.
Okay, nothing to do with that. So what were you doing?
Well, interested. But we never thought like at the beginning we were going to be photographers. No way. I'm an engineer and
And I was not even interested in how to set a camera. It was just like, it was cool to make a photo, but I don't know. I had no clue what I have to do or what I did or whatever.
Yeah, it was fun because she was always like, we were together and I read books and whatever. I educated myself a lot through a lot of different media and not so much of like video stuff in the internet that came out later. But I had like a lot of books and stuff. And I was always teaching her, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this. And she didn't have any idea at all at the beginning. And she just took the better photos all the time. And I'm like, what did you do?
That's irritating.
I mean, this is wrong, technically wrong. Why is it looking better?
Wow. So you have one who's technical, one who's artistic, and then what a great marriage. I mean,
actually, of those two, I have to say that now I understand.
Yeah. Okay. So. Sorry.
That's really the beginning. Now I know what I do.
I think that's understood. Okay. You're like, what is 35 millimeter? No.
Yes.
just never understood. But Carmen, what were you doing when you guys met then? Were you also 23 when you met on the beach?
Yeah. I was also 23. And I actually, I'm a hairdresser. I'm a makeup artist. And I studied sociology. So.
Okay. Wow. So you had gone to beauty school?
Yes, and I did it in Vienna, and then I went to Munich for my hair stuff.
Uh-huh.
So the hairdresser stuff I did in Munich, and afterwards I was like, I knew that I wanted to do something creative, but that was not my dream job, or it was like I want to do something else. So I started something to do for my mind. So that's why I started sociology.
Okay,
meanwhile, it started out with the photo business, so I never had really the, like, I never wanted to do a link snap. I never wanted to finish the whole thing because I knew that photography is going to be my life.
Yeah. Okay, so so you left sociology and then you guys started quite quickly then after you met to do photography, or how many...
2005, 2006.
Well, yeah, in 2005, we bought their first DSLR camera because we were traveling to India and we thought, like, we need a better camera to travel. And yeah, that was our first, experience with a professional. It wasn't even professional, it was just a DSLR starter camera and like a zoom lens 18 to 200.
Ooh.
And we came back with images and people were like, wow. What incredible images. And like looking back, it's like it's a lie. I mean, they just never seen images from India, that's all. So and then the first people came like, hey, you want to, your images from India are so beautiful, you want to shoot my wedding? Yeah, sure. Same thing.
So we came to the whole wedding.
Same thing. Well, you brought that same lens.
And yeah.
We can go. It doesn't matter where we are. We can both Zoom and do.
Totally.
I set it on a green automatic thing, and it's like, let's do it
all the way.
No, I mean that's how it started actually, and those people are still together. We shot first, like 10 years ago, we shot the first wedding together, 2006.
And when you look at those wedding pictures, what goes through your head?
What wedding images are you talking about?
they are still happy. So we are happy that they are happy, but
we were never close to... We didn't even know anything about it. It's like
nothing
really
about
that.
Light and nothing.
We posted an image on Instagram. Left side is like 2006 and right side is 2016. And there is a difference.
It's scary to go through the archives and kind of see you.
Luckily, there's a difference.
Huge difference.
I mean, the other way, if there's no difference, that's amazing. But there are a lot of people doing it very... quicker than we did. I mean, we developed in the last 10 years of certainly, but there are like very talented people out there at the moment, like really like they start shooting and they have like an amazing quality of images. Since that, the whole education thing is different. You can get yourself much quicker educated about
Yeah, and some are really just amazing artists.
Yeah,
know
of
what
course.
To do. So
yeah,
yeah. But we had to learn actually.
Yeah, we were just two guys with a camera and we wanted to shoot. That's all.
But that's a great way to start. And it sounds like you guys are coming from, you're like destined to succeed in a way because you're not just like, you know, kind of like me, like, oh, I love photography. It doesn't matter that I'm poor for X amount of years in the beginning. Sounds like you have kind of been quite sensible about the whole, I mean, having it as a job and also interest.
Yeah, actually, the job started later, so we were always Ingo is he's the organized and the he the safety guy. He always wanted to have a safe income to have like a flat or whatever.
Yeah.
And in Munich, it's not cheap, but you know this from Sweden.
Yeah.
So we always went. Like really small steps, not really jumped into the deep water and tried to survive or something.
To be honest, we never took any financial risks at all. So
we were very boring with
that. Yeah, very boring. and we are probably very boring if it comes to creativity with photography. I mean, if I see people out there on the internet or even on 500px or whatever pages
there are so
they're like,
good people
out there. We don't start comparing. What we do is like making a living out of that, what we love to do, and try the best to succeed. But like,
and we love the whole positive vibes of weddings. So it's like you have a job and you get a lot of positive feelings back and a lot of hugs and laughs and I don't know. It's like that makes it very special. So we see us sure as a little bit of artists, but we are probably more Dienstleister.
Service suppliers,
and we make people happy. We try to make people happy, and that makes us happy. So.
Yeah.
Well, which you do, and your beautiful images, which they are. I mean, so don't downplay your own talents because they are.
That's probably from gorgeous. Karma.
But I mean, I can imagine. I know. I mean, it happens so many times that I'm at weddings and you're just getting like feeling the love, you know, and like it makes you think, you know, you hear this music and the poems and you're like, wow, you start to think about your own wedding. And then if I had had my husband there, it would have been like so special to be able to just like kind of look at each other like, wow, you know, a reminder. I mean, that must be so cool.
That's true.
You guys
that's
have true. That.
We have a lot of these moments where we look at each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially when they say something very special to each other and like they make you tear up as well. So then it's very special to have your partner with you and like you look at each other and it's like, so that's, I love that too. Yeah. Mm. So in general, it's very nice to work with each other because you know each other very well and you know how the other one like works and this, and as well, you can talk about the whole stuff afterwards, and
yeah.
We are both interested in the same thing, so that's a very nice nice situation for us. So we are very we are very blessed, and we know that, so we appreciate it very much.
That's really nice. I mean, all the after talk and
yes,
like, oh my God, that was a beautiful, you know, you can really talk about work and it's not like,
yeah,
you're that's kind true. Of integrated into it. And, mm-hmm. and, Ingo, what about you, to back up the tape a little bit? What were you doing then? You said you were an engineer and what was your life like? Were you like
I was a student actually back then, and like final semesters, and I was studying telecommunication system and engineering stuff. So lots of theoretical nerdy stuff. And after that, I was in Salzburg and in Austria, and which is close to Munich actually at this point. And I was like, okay, if I search for a job, let's say it in Munich. And then I moved here, searched for a job. And then I was like working two different companies each 4 years as an engineering part, like project leader, part project leader. And pretty interesting stuff, actually. Very interesting. But it wasn't like fulfilling myself. And I always wanted to work for myself as well.
Okay.
So being self-employed is one of the best things we've ever done.
And so that's one of your driving forces then, to keep it going and just always. What's the best part about being self-employed?
So spending a lot more time with my daughter than I could do when I'm employed, because I wouldn't leave the house at, I would leave the house at, I don't know, 8 o'clock and come back at 7. I would have probably, or I had like kind of a leading position and that's not 9 to 5 anyway.
Right.
And and now working here in the office and she's playing downstairs, I can always take a break, go down, play half an hour, or walk or something like that. That's the best part. And I would just be self-employed because of that.
And Ingo really loves to hustle, and he's really like in a hustle mode sometimes. So, and he's doing that for us and not for somebody else. So he's, I don't know how you can say, like, he's driven by all these, I have to do that, and he loves that. So he loves all these business things behind. Because sometimes people they are great artists, but there is no business sense behind the whole stuff. And I'm something like that. And I'm so happy to have some Ingo next to me because he's very good in business and he's doing very great job, and he loves that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I always felt like, when working for others, it's the one guy at the top of the company or whatever, and getting his pockets filled up even more. And this, like, this guy at the end, it was like the family or whatever. They have like 2.5 something billion euros on stock, and I've not gotten a raise in 4 years in this company. So I was like frustrated to work, to do performance, and not getting even financially, not that out what I think it would be worth it. And that's why I think if I sit here at 1 o'clock in the night, it's my or our money, it's our success, and I love to work for that, not for someone else who is not even appreciating it.
Right, who doesn't know who you exist, maybe.
So and that's a lot more fun than anything else. And the photography part, that I was always searched for something what I can do self-employed. I've always, like, 20 years back already, but I can't do anything where people would pay for, you know?
Yeah.
So that was that was the start of the whole thing.
And here you are. That's
yeah.
What a cool journey. I mean, that's awesome. What do you think is, I mean, when you're sitting there masterminding your the growth of your company, what do you think is the thing that really stands out with you guys? What do you guys do differently besides have a business sense at all, which most of us artists don't? But what do you think is, like, if you had to say one or two things?
That's so hard to say. I think we are just Cameron and Ingo, and we as when we started, there were not that much couples out there. So that was a really big point for us. In Germany, we always say we were one of the first couples to do that. So this changed now. We have a lot of couples. But there was for sure a really good starting point, because for the weddings, people really like that. And we are a two, and they know that I'm a woman, Ingo is a man, and I'm with the bride, he's with the groom and stuff like that. So, and that was not normal in the beginning. So people were like hiring us because of that.
And for doing like full day coverages, like it was really people, we had to explain it a lot that we never did 1.5 hour civil ceremony just in getting married and out. So we always did like at least 6 hours or 8 hours coverages. Okay. Even at the beginning, it was like more 14 hours than 6 hours.
Yeah, so that was the beginning. And then I think it started, we always like to communicate. We talk a lot. So we started out like Munich Wedding Meetup, something like where the whole wedding industry is meeting up. Mm-hmm. And we started this in Munich, and now it's everywhere, like in Germany, and like there are 40.
Well, over 40 is over 40.
Over Germany, Switzerland, Austria. And that's pretty cool. Like we started a really cool community together, and it's really nice to exchange. I don't know, whatever. But what do you have to exchange? Well, and it's really nice to have nice friends in the whole industry, and I think that. Really changed a little bit the mindset of people, because in the beginning they were always competitors, and they were like hiding stuff, like and we don't share and we don't do that, and so it was that changed a lot over the past 10 years, I guess.
Our knowledge about photography and business is a lot from people who shared their experience, their knowledge with us, a lot of them for free, but we like went to workshops, and we went to like a lot to WBPI, for example.
Yeah. A lot of American photographers, actually, a lot of American influences.
Yeah, and what we started quickly to do is also share when we have something to share, we shared it, you know, so and this always brought us further if we help someone else. It always brought ourselves further too, and there is this the wedding industry community called Wedding Meetup, and there is our workshop community, which is only photographers. So there like a lot of, we've always done a lot of for community building and Facebook groups. We were the first German photographer Facebook groups out there. We were sharing weddings. If we are booked, we can give it to someone else. If our closest friends are booked, we can give it to someone else, and this is
what
we did.
We always liked with each other and not against each other. That was nice. For us very important. Yeah.
So you said you started these meetups. Does that mean you started like kind of a network of photographers then who were?
No, it's not only photographers. It's like wedding planners, florists, hair and makeup, everyone who works in the wedding industry, even locations everything.
Whatever. DJs.
Yeah.
And okay, I see. So
we started. It's called Munich Wedding Meetup, and we started it in May 2011 here in Munich.
Okay.
And then a friend of us took it to near Cologne, and then someone else picked it up. And now we have like a corporate identity logo stuff. So people like there is in Vienna, it's like over 120 people all the time. Munich is like over 100 people. Stuttgart is big. And we have once in a year, there's like the German wedding meetup that are about 350 to 400.
So all of Germany comes together and like they are chatting, and we have a little program, a little
presentations.
And so that's pretty cool. And people like it, because normally we are blessed that we are two of us, but normally you work by your own, always behind your desk, and you're sitting there with your pajamas or your PJs for 3 days, and I don't talk to other people. And so that's pretty cool, because a lot of people or a lot of friendship were built there. So
and corporations as well.
Corporations. Yeah. So a lot of things happen. So that's we are pretty like proud. I wouldn't say proud, but I think that changed.
Happy that people are taking it that way. You know, we thought it might work to bring people together, and it does. So people are really hungry for connecting and collaborating together.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, just having kind of colleagues, people to talk about and be like, share. And that makes a lot of sense.
You have stuff like that in Sweden or in Stockholm?
Well, I mean, it's funny that you say that because I am part of a group that does meet and has tried to pull together a few things like that. Nothing that seems to work as well as what you guys have. Mm-hmm. But we have tried. We've also noticed a similar problem and tried to break this tradition of like, everyone kind of sits on their own secrets and this is my pricing and this is how I do things. So we're working on that as well. And I think it's come a long way since, at least from when I started. But it sounds like what you guys have built is a little bit more established. And
actually, but it started like really like we were five people and we were writing a status on Facebook, something like, hey, if you want to come join, we five and we go out. And and like 20 people were like...
30 people were at the first.
Like, yeah, we want to come. I was like, okay, cool, then come. So we started like that, really. And we were like, that's a cool thing. Let's do that. Yeah, so we started it.
Yeah, Munich, if we do like a date early in the year, like let's say March, April or something, there are about 150 signups.
Wow.
So that's nice. If people come and we try doing like a little presentation program as well, or people can, get a 5-minute presentation of their business or whatever they have to share to help people. Yeah. And it's pretty fun. And we met a lot of interesting and nice people through the whole thing. And it's all non-profit to say that. So it's like, it's all non-profit. Nobody has to pay something. Yeah. It's just nobody gets some money. It's all
meeting colleagues.
Meeting.
And like it's pretty funny. We had something like a band were playing in the evening, or somebody brought some sweets because they are they make sweets, or then they some really like that they bring stuff in the whole thing, and that's pretty funny. So we had a singer, and she was singing the whole evening, or three or four songs. That's how they introduced herself, and that's the best way because a lot of suppliers get to know them and like, oh, we can refer them.
And that's how it works. I mean, you're always like recommending people, and if you hear someone that's amazing, I mean, we all do that. Like, I make a note that was an amazing singer. If somebody asks me,
And then you know them personal, you know that they are nice people as well. That they don't just have great work; they also have a great personality.
Or the opposite, you know, they have great work, but I can't recommend him because it's just like not a nice person or something like that. That happens too. Yeah,
it does. And of course, that's important.
It's also a great experience.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't recommend people and regret it afterwards.
Yeah.
Who's in your book of just never? No, I'm just kidding. Don't.
What's the blacklist? No, we don't have those kind of feelings. Actually, no.
You're just like crossing them off the list, like no more. Yeah, but how has those kinds of things changed since having Malia? I mean, the social stuff
doesn't change. We're still talking a lot.
No, you mean like when going out and
going out for drinks.
Oh, that changed for sure. Yeah, you don't have because we don't have our mothers here or our grannies or so they live in Austria and we have to get a babysitter for sure. And yeah, we don't do that often in the evening. No, so.
And it's what we plan doing is like date nights that we meet with each other. We both go out for dinner, and what we try doing is like have people come over if they want to meet us. So because it's easier for us to have them here for like barbecue or whatever. And also a second thing happens that a lot of our friends were moving back to Austria. We had a lot of Austrian friends.
Okay.
Here in Munich, was a pretty large community actually, and a lot of people were moving back
getting back to Austria. But it's on our list as well. So we definitely want to go back to Austria. In the next couple of years or whatever.
Yeah.
So
really?
See how this turns out. And because we love Munich, it's nice, and we are here since a long time. But yeah, what I said, like we don't have a granny, our grandfathers are not here, yeah. and our mm-hmm. family is not here. Our dearest friends are back in Austria, so we definitely want to go back. So we love Munich, but Austria is our home country, and we are old now. We can go home.
I mean, I'm sure. How old are you?
But you don't go out within 20 years or something. Right. You don't go clubbing every weekend. Yeah. And it was very important to live in a big city because we like to go out and we like to go into this bar and this cafe and whatever. Yeah, this changed a little bit.
And now you're just at home. So you could be at home anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But how old are you? I mean, speaking of old.
Oh, 35 both.
No, I'm actually 36, you're 36 isn't far away either.
I'm 35.
So, yeah. Well, actually, in Stockholm, we will be still 35, yeah.
Are you going back to 35, Ingo?
I'm already 36, but Cameron turns 36 in December.
Yeah, I still have time.
Okay. Yeah, you're still young and fresh.
Yeah.
How old are you with your
team? I'm in my 30s, 39 and a half.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. For lying, that's horrible.
No, you look like a young McGrien, a little bit with the hair. And the way you talk is a little bit of the Ellen generous.
Yeah, true.
So it's a mix of McGrien with how you talk. That's
really well, that was really nice. I love Ellen. And
Really?
Yeah. And but did you see that Meg Ryan was like all over social media now because of her? So I hope you mean
the beautiful early one.
Not the broken lip girl.
not the operated. But enough about me. No, what was I going to say about coming to Sweden? I know that a lot of people are, and a lot of Germans, I think, are coming to see you as well. And the other non-Germans will be, I think, blown away by your business savvy ways. and it's, I'm going to be, I don't want you to tell me what you're going to say at Way Up North, but what kinds of things are you going to be talking about?
To be honest, in the beginning, I have to say I'm dying. When I think about the whole stuff, I start sweating, I'm getting red, I'm getting nervous points everywhere. Because it's really like, we went to Rome and we were sitting there and I was like really, no, please, why we do that? So, oh my God. So that's like.
You're nervous.
Because it's in, like, I think I wouldn't be that nervous if it's in German, but we are standing out there and we're talking English and that's like my worst case. So that's going to be really exciting. Yeah. So I don't have, I try to not think about the whole stuff. So, no.
Keep in mind that, I mean, most of the people there, first of all, don't have English as their first language. So right away, I'm sure those people are like, oh, thank God, you know, because I think a lot of people are going to be nervous about that. So, I mean, you can just take that off your list of worries right off the bat. And I think that, I mean, what you're going to talk about is going to be so interesting. It doesn't matter if you say something wrong grammatically. It just...
Let's so see. No pressure. So yeah. So you know what we are talking about. So let us know too. No, I mean it's we talked with Cole and Jacob about the whole thing and it changed a little bit because they tried to change the theme of Way Up North. I think like getting more into action stuff, and that's actually incredible, great idea because we are more the like. Action part of like as I said I don't think we're or at least I am not super creative and sit there and say like the photography part is like my inner coming out and stuff. That's not the case. What I am is like a business person having like sort of a talent to do good to people or something that like that, and we have like the teaching part, which is a very very great passionate project of us that we have like teaching other photographers how we do it and how we tell them like how our business has grown in the past and what might work for them as well, or building strategies for them to make it work as well and stuff like that. That's what I love to do and what we love to do. And we also have like sort of other income streams through products. And what I personally love is like scalable products, you know, like creating something and then make it bigger through like marketing, advertising, whatever. And
also think about what you can add for the clients, what yeah. they, what difference, what they,
their needs.
The yeah. needs are and how yeah. you can fulfill these needs. So we thought about that a lot, and that's why like we do video because we love that as well. So it's pretty funny. But anyway, it's another income or another position in our day coverage. And so that's what we probably want to talk about, and as well about a little bit of life work life balance with our daughter and how we do that. And
I know that a lot of people are interested in hearing that part, how to make that work. You said, because you're selling like it's actions and also kind of videos, like tutorials, or what are the kind of other products that you have aside from the services, the photo services?
The one part is like our wedding photography. This is like the whole thing. It's like actually a closed, like I would say, part of the company, and the other one is like the teaching part and having tools for photographers. We don't sell Photoshop actions. It's more like Lightroom presets and stuff like that. And what we started in 2012 was a series of workshops. They are 2.5 day workshops.
Okay.
They're called Learn How We Do It, and like we tell from A to Z what we building, what we're focusing on, how we shoot,
how you start a business in Germany, like really from the scratch, from the beginning, the business part, but also about how we shoot, how we see light, a little bit of light work. So we in the second workshop we work from light saturation to light saturation and talk about how we do, how we see light and how we work with this light and stuff.
We have done this several times in like group workshops, and then we were telling people over and over again the whole thing when they were sitting here for one-on-one teachings. And we were like, okay, we need to record the whole thing because it's like basic knowledge. A lot of things are basic knowledge, and we need to record that on video and then say like, hey, look here. And if you have questions afterwards, then let's start talking on your business and your strategies.
Right.
And so that way we're starting to record this Learn How We Do It workshop, 2.5 day, and put it together to a best of 10 hours, whatever, without breaks and without useless information. And sold that. And it was another like community what we built out of it, because we were like saying, okay, it's not over when you buy it, because we're creating a community. You can always come back and ask, and we're meeting and stuff like that. So it's a growing community.
Two times a year meetups with our own community, and we meet us and we hanging out the whole day in the evening. And so that's pretty funny, and it's really helpful, kind community. So
yeah, very polite and respectful.
No haters, no bad answers, no I don't know, really nice guys.
There are almost 1,000 people in there, and we have never had to dismiss anyone out of that group, because everyone knows exactly how to behave and how to
be each other,
and they help each other to grow, and they are the community. We just started it, and it's like the ticket is our buy a workshop in our store, and then you can come in there. Yeah,
and we have another thing now where we have we had a really huge styled wedding shoot. So it was all about the whole wedding day, like a normal wedding day, but actually a styled one.
Yeah,
with guests for and everything book. For a book. Yeah. And so we were, we took a camera team with us, and so they made a video, like a 3 hours video, like how we shoot a wedding, so it was not a real wedding, but a style wedding. So this is a new product, but it's all like, they're all German stuff. Yeah. Because normally we talk German, and that's our natural language, our.
The video is, the videos, we were always explaining why we shoot here, why we shoot that image, and then the person watching the video sees the image, the final image with settings and everything, and we're just explaining every little step while producing a real assignment. Actually, we were hired for that assignment, or it was a cooperation, and it's going to end up in a book. And yeah, that's a project we wanted to do with a real wedding, but
that's impossible.
That's you don't want to monetize people's important day. Yeah. So we started. That was a good solution for that.
And also, you can't really say like, "Hey, priest, can you just be quiet for one second? I have to tell my viewers what I'm thinking here." Like, well, right now they're about to have the first kiss, and I want to position myself.
For all for you. We're having it on 35mm, 1.8, yeah. And we're shooting at 250th of a second and a low
and
ISO.
Romantic. And go. And
continue.
Go.
Now ring exchange.
Back to you. Well, I can tell already from what you're saying that I definitely need an Ingo.
Yeah, everybody sees that because it's very good. I can recommend it.
I mean, someone who's just actually doing the stuff. I mean, my
and
husband
he's also
tells
he
me
can
to do
really
it.
Carry a lot of stuff, so I know that as well. So he's always carrying all the stuff, and I walk in front.
And you're like,
that's nice.
Yes, you stay less sweaty. But how much? I'm curious about how much of your what do you call it? Like revenues is the weddings, and how much is the for photographer stuff? If you have those two. Percent. I mean, percent-wise, you don't have to say in numbers, but I mean, like, is it 50-50 or is it?
No, it's going towards the workshop thing, which we wanted to go because this is the scalable thing. Because the we can't scale weddings. We have like a little family. We have a kid. We couldn't shoot 80 weddings a year, and we couldn't shoot 50. And I don't
want
to shoot 35. So we say like we shoot 20 weddings a year. They shall be high class, and we're like setting everything on these 20 couples and making their day special for them and making it an experience that they have hired us. And the other part is like we're developing different income streams for like we have lots of ideas to create and do for the other part. For the wedding part, it's like at some point you're done. We have like weddings with like, you know, 5 digits turnover of a wedding, but I can't make those one wedding like a Jose Villa budget wedding. That's not possible here in Europe, or at least we won't have 20 of that.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, and
it's probably
sell.
Possible. There are people having a lot
yeah,
of money,
sure.
But you have to like bring yourself up there. I don't
yeah.
know how. Like really hard work and really, yeah, like Jose Villa did, but. I don't know if this works here as well. Yeah.
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 And but what we can work on is like really, you know, the helping other people or helping as many people as possible. And that's what's scalable actually. And that what we're focusing on, because I don't want to sit on a 25-year-old couple wedding when I'm 60. That's definitely not happening.
Right. Yeah. That struck me too. When not too long ago, that's like, okay, at some point it's going to, that does probably get old. I mean, the actual running around and
yeah,
you know,
it's actually really hard work. People always like, you know, that as well. People always think that we have, that's your job, that's great, so you have a party every Saturday, and what are you doing during the week? It's like,
yeah,
it's hard
okay.
work.
Yeah,
that's
what and what are you doing winter? It's like, oh, yeah. So that's pretty funny, but yeah, you know that it's a really hard job. You're exhausted the next day. Everything hurts, and as well the mind is very tired as well, so because you have to be creative, you have to be on point in every second, and that's very exhausting for the mind, I think. Like afterwards it's like brain dead sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
To come back to your percentage thing or whatever, I would say it's 40, 60 or something like that.
So 40 weddings, 60 workshops, another okay.
Yeah. Might be getting more in the next years, depends on how what projects come to life through the whole thing.
Yeah, but we always said like when we're doing this together and we are family, and if it's really like we have to think about other stuff, our other possibilities in our to get an income, because like you said, when we are 65, it's probably not easy to get weddings like this, and really good weddings, high pricey weddings, whatever. There are people coming, like there are a lot of really good photographers growing now, and I don't know if when we are 65 we are totally out, and I don't know, we probably think we're shooting good stuff, but we don't. So
I mean, you seem like a very agile team. You're going to be doing whatever is appropriate at that
who
time.
Who knows it what we're doing in 20 years?
Who knows?
I mean, when I think back last 10 years, the whole world changed for us in so many ways. And who knows what we're doing after or in 10 years in the future. So we might be doing something totally different than photography at all. Who knows?
Definitely.
I'm not thinking right now at the point when I'm 60, but I just know that at the moment I'm focusing a lot on different stuff as well, not just photography. That's what makes me always shake my head a little bit when I see photographers blaming others doing business. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, as a photographer, you have to do photography by everything you do. It must be shooting pictures.
Right.
I'm not like only photographer. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business person. And well, I take pictures, but if I'm at the side business trade with high pricey what do you call it?
What?
Immobilien royalties?
Yes.
Is it royalties? No.
Do you mean royalty persons who are royalty?
No,
give me.
Commission.
Name. If you sell houses and
Like a commission, you mean?
No, if you sell houses, what do you say? What is the English word for it? Immobilien.
Realty.
Realty. Yeah, realty. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. And if I do like this as a business, I'm still a photographer, but I'm like, you know, making money with selling houses and places and stuff like that. So
next to each.
What's wrong about that?
Yeah, I mean, right. No, of course.
For example, if I'm like love to shoot 10 weddings a year and not 60, why can I not get some other income streams from other businesses? Why not?
Yeah, of course not. And you feel like you experience that people think that there's something bad about that?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, that's because the marketing, or that's because they do whatever. So it's like, I think, people are, it's always like, if you're an artist, it's always a little bit a bad thing to say, I want to earn money as well.
Yeah. So, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, that's always with it comes always with a bad taste. Like, so you want to have more, like, money. You want to have enough money to live. What's up with you guys?
We started, like, selling our preset 2011, I think we started it, and the first set, and people were like, so nowadays they're starting to sell presets.
And I was like, why not?
Yeah. Exactly. We're trying to live full time of photography and our own work.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, sell shoes on the street, who cares? You know.
But this is how we make our own dream of, like, we can live our dream, and we have to work for that, and we have to think about all the time how we can manage that.
Mm.
That's because what we say, like, we are not the most talented, not the best photographers out there, and we have to, to do our way. We find our way
to make a living.
I mean, I think it's great, and like I said, I think a lot of people will be interested to hear how to do that, because so many people are either have like another, you know, day job on the side, which is
a lot of people.
That's not better. I mean, in any way either. That's the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
But here actually, you're doing it actually within your, you know, within
having a partner support you because he's not in your business at all.
Right.
He's like having a regular job or some other businesses.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, actually. You get supported, and we have to support ourselves with some other income streams than just wedding. It's
that's
not that we couldn't live with only weddings. But it's another part of the job. It's another it's other fun. It's more fun even to help other people. And it's also a business second leg of the business, actually.
Yeah. Would you say you've developed like an expensive taste, expensive lifestyle?
Not at all. No, we don't own anything, actually.
You don't own anything?
No, we live in a rented house. The car is leased.
I think I will never have, because when we met, I really had nothing. So I lived from like, I had a bag full of potatoes, and that was my food for 1.5 weeks. And then I bought noodles, and that was that thing for 1.5 weeks. So it was really low budget. Yeah. And I think so. We always have a normal standard. We don't have a low budget standard, but we live totally normal.
More or less than we had when I was employed as an engineer.
Yeah, so, yeah no. And, yeah. and I don't know. I'm just curious because have become successful. No. And I mean, it does usually change a little bit.
We traveled 2 times around the world. So we had 2 world trips, and the 6-month trip was pretty funny because we were very low budget. So we rented out our flat here. So our rented flat, we rented it out.
Oh, wow.
And we had actually nothing. So no car, no nothing. So we put everything in the cellar and went away for 1/2 year with a backpack. Awesome. That was pretty cool because we slept most expensive place were like $20 in Laos, in Vientiane. Yeah. But normally we slept for $3 to $7 and really low basic, and that was the best time in our lives, one of the best times after
that. Yeah. It is. I mean, those are good memories and times.
So that was pretty funny and pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And we had a great trip, and after that you came home and we were like, what do we have in the cellar, actually? So because it was fine, 1/2 year with a backpack on a bag, and then you come back, it's like...
Yeah, there's a fun story about that, because Carmen's like has a lot of handbags, not expensive ones, but handbags, and they take a lot of space. And she was like putting the ones in like a little box, and the actual one she was using at the time was on top with like the name actual handbag. We came back and she opened that box and it was like, hey, look at this beautiful handbag. And she put it out and then she saw the thing, oh, actual handbag. So that was the one she was using at the time. So I said, hey, let's start from the bottom of this box, the way up. So you have
it was kind of shopping for me.
It was shopping in her old handbag. Yeah. Boxes.
Ingo, you should have just wrapped everything up and given it to her for Christmas. She would have been like, oh, I love this bag.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank yeah.
Actually, my
that's a good idea. I do that with shoes as well.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. What you're saying is completely foreign to me about having one bag.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know what you're talking about there. But that sounds so great. And I think that you guys have such a good head on your shoulders. I mean, like, successful, but still kind of know what's important in life.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
Nice to hear. Tell us a little bit about Malia. I want to hear before we end, like, what's she like?
Actually, she's super sweet. Super sweet and extremely funny. She's a very funny person and she laughs a lot. So when she wakes up and she starts laughing.
Yeah. First thing in the morning, it's like light's still out or the it's dark in there still. And she's like, Papa, Papa, Mama, Mama. Yeah. And then we just look at her and she was smiling. The first thing.
So she's pretty funny, a happy girl. And she's a really bad sleeper.
Okay.
It's getting better now, but it was really, really horrible. And we were desperately in need for sleep. So we had really a lack of sleep. It was horrible. But now it's like it's getting really better. But she still sleeps like every night or every second night between us.
Mm-hmm.
Because she loves to cuddle extremely, so she's really like she would crawl in me if she could.
Yes,
so
I have one of those.
Yeah, I love that. It's really sweet, but you really feel your neck and your back when you wake up because you lie like weird. But that's nice, right?
Very nice. I love it. I mean,
yeah, I love it too.
I wouldn't change. I know that I will miss it. I mean, when they're big and they don't want to.
That's true.
They don't want to like spread out on you and just, you know, hands inside the shirt and.
Yeah, that's true. She's doing it the same.
Yeah.
And your 2 year old baby sleeps with you as well.
Yeah, yeah. She's.
So you have a family bed, or you have?
We have like family bed. Then the boys come in the morning, and then some mornings all five of us are in.
Oh, sweet.
In the bed, so.
So you have a huge bed.
I mean, it's like 180. We should have a bigger one. We would need it.
Yeah, and five people, it's like really it's cozy.
I mean, usually I'm in the fetal position at the foot of the bed. And so, I mean, it's very unconventional. We're like a puzzle, you know, like.
I understand that. Yeah, and then you get a feet in your nose and a hand in your ear.
Yeah, imagine two more people in there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Imagine two more. And Olivia, my two-year-old, she's always kicking my husband in the face, like because she lays between us, but her face is by me. And then her feet are literally, like he gets like, kicked in the head a few times per night.
We have the same, actually. Her head is always with me, and Ingo always gets the feet somewhere. But we really like that. It's sometimes it's a little bit in the night. It's like, oh no, why? So she's waking up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the morning, it's always fine. So she's a very smart, sweet, happy girl. Yeah. And we are
very appreciating that she's healthy, that she's happy, that everything is nice. I mean, there are other people having not as much luck with their children, that they have some disease or whatever. And besides, she came 4 weeks earlier, everything is fine.
Yeah.
And that's not an issue anymore.
Always the most important thing. Yeah.
Definitely.
So like, we both are always like, they start or they talk with you about how to train your baby to sleep alone and stuff like that. It's like, I don't want that. I don't let her cry. I don't want to train her to something. I love her and Ingo loves her. And so we cuddle. And if she needs us, she needs us. And this will stop sometimes, I guess.
It will. She probably won't be 25 needing to be there. But I totally agree with you. I think that it's some people don't understand that one of the needs of, besides, you know, food and sleep, is really closeness. And if you take that away, you're taking away like something, a kind of security that they need actually. Absolutely. For the rest of their life.
Yeah. So, and the trust in you. And if you break that, it's somehow weird, because you have to be the most trustful people in her life, and they don't want to break that. It's crazy. So people really start to, like, I have to put the baby in the other room with 2 months because they have to learn how to sleep and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I don't want to spoil them with attention. It's like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
That's weird. Yeah. So I don't get that. And we never would do that. And we love that she's still with us and she needs us and she's cuddling. And and we see that this is the perfect way for her, because she's growing up very nice and she's she always how you say that, streicheln?
It's touching us.
She's always touching us. We love that.
She's secure. She has a good,
I guess, yes,
security. That's nice. Oh, you sound so wise, both as parents and business owners.
That's because we are so old.
How can you say that to me?
No, it's like, not just
we just learned how to sound wise.
No, that's because we are always surrounded with young people. Actually, our nannies, they are like 21 and 25. Marina's 23. So we always like,
so you feel old.
One time we had Nirvana in our office.
The guy on the Nevermind album, like the baby, turned 22. And the same age as our assistant is, and I'm like, hey, do you know this guy, like Nirvana the band? Yeah, sure, they played recently somewhere near her neighborhood
festival.
And I'm like, no,
not that Nirvana.
That's another Nirvana.
That's someone else.
That's a new Nirvana.
You mean like smells like Teen Spirit? I mean,
so that's
let's be old together then, if that's the case. I don't mind.
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So lovely to speak to both of you, and I am really looking forward to meeting you in person, obviously, and to hear about all this stuff, because I'm one of those people who, okay, I actually do have a business degree, but I'm completely, I know some of the things, but I'm not so good at implementing. So I'm your perfect student. And I'm going to be taking notes, like scribbling furiously.
And yeah, then, no pressure. We need to find something now.
Yeah, so make it good, because I want
to work. Make it good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we needed.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet you in person. Yeah. And I actually can't wait to see Stockholm, because after I've been there, Ingo told me that it's awesome. And everybody told us.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm...
Yeah, we're trying to spend the week up there, and like with Carmen's mom will be joining
us
probably, and doing a little city trip.
Oh, good. Well, we'll have to meet up for coffee and show you some, maybe something that's not so touristy, and we'll have
something.
You bring your two old, kid with you, because then they can...
Then they can play, perfect.
Have their own groups.
They have their own group, and we go to party.
Yeah, sounds good. No, that'll be good. I really look forward to it. And I hope that, it's a few months away, but that the summer's nice for you. You probably have every weekend booked now, but...
Yeah, actually,
we're pretty busy,
But we still blocked some weekends for us because, we need some family time and some rest between.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's crazy because, we travel a lot, so we always have a lot of travel time.
Mm.
And so we,
and due to the businesses around the photography part, there is no low season since years.
Yeah,
so winter is not a low season. Actually, it's even busier than summer.
Yeah, so you have to make it happen. That you have to make the free time happen, or it's not.
Yeah,
that's
never
gonna
happen.
Otherwise, you would starve in the end. Last year it was pretty crazy. So we were all exhausted in November. Because with a small baby and nursing, and a lot of, we were three times Mallorca, Amsterdam, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, and there was a lot of travel with a little girl.
Oh,
and she actually hated to drive the car.
And we were 30,000 kilometers in the car.
And she hated it.
And she hated
it. So she was screaming, then we stopped, then I nursed her, then we started again. And so we did it, we drive,
four-hour trip is ending up as an eight-hour trip.
Yeah, something like that. So
because we were stopping all the time.
Exhausting.
It's amazing that you're actually still together after putting yourself through that. I mean, that most couples are
the funny thing is, on the world trip, we were really... Oh, we have to...
Yeah.
That's sorry.
No, go ahead. What?
No. No, I just said that in the half year of our trip, we realized that we are very good if we are really close together, and we start to argumenting when we are separated.
Ah, okay.
So that's why we said we can work together. I think that's pretty good. So.
That's a better surefire way for us to stay together. Oh, that's awesome.
True.
You guys are living the dream.
Yeah.
Well, at least our dream.
Yeah.
Everybody has to find his/her own dream. So, for us, it couldn't be better at the moment.
Yeah, but I would assume that the dream for most people is to have work that you love, be able to combine it with family life, have freedom to choose and decide your own time, to also travel, to be in happy places. I mean, those things are pretty universal.
Well,
and you have.
If you really want it, it's easier than you think, actually.
Yeah.
So I hear there's a lot that people are using excuses to things not happening they want it to happen, but they're not trying hard enough to get it, you know?
Right.
So, and in the beginning, you have to really focus on what you really want. But because sometimes if you want to travel and you get a lot of weddings somewhere, destination weddings,
mm-hmm.
and you end up with, oh, I don't want that actually. I want to be with my family. I want to be at home. I want to be in my own surrounding. Then it's not a good dream or whatever. Or it was the wrong dream. It was a dream from somebody else. So you have to really focus on what you want and not what other people do. And it sounds successful for you because it sounds like a wow, but for you it wouldn't fit.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's very true. I think a lot of people do that. I've reached success when I'm doing, destination weddings, like you said, or whatever. But what makes me happy?
What is success for you? That's
exactly. Which may be something totally different.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people would say
wonderful.
Travel, hate, will.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And most probably wouldn't. But sounds so nice. India. Yeah. All right, I'm going to let you go and go squeeze that little Malia.
Yeah, we
and,
do that. She's really nonsense.
I'm going to go home and squeeze mine, and I'll see you in a few months. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Thank you for having us. My grind and Ellen generous in one person.
You like made my day. I'm going to go home and tell my husband that, and you got a lot of extra credit points by saying that.
Awesome.
Okay, nice to meet you both.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.